B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Jeff McClain does a great job. Inquirer.com. You got to read him. You got to follow him on Twitter. Jeff, good afternoon.
Hey, Anthony.
What the hell is going on down there?
I don't know. We're not allowed down.
Right, that's true. I mean, that's ridiculous. First of all, that answer, hey, by the way, if Jimmy Kemsky wasn't a gentleman, he could easily say, well, I don't know, Doug, did you play?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, give me a break. Why are we now in the namby-pamby, all defensive, when on Monday you thought, hey, regression's a good question?
Yeah. I mean, Doug has kind of pulled that before, that card. I think one time he said, I'd love to have you guys, bring you guys down from the press box and place you on the sidelines and put on the headphones and make the decisions I have to make. And, he said that last year. It was last year or 2 years ago. And, obviously I never played in the NFL. In fact, I didn't play much of football. But what I always say to people who go in that direction is, I don't have to be president to cover the White House either. And when you're a journalist, certainly you want to be informed. And I feel like I've gone about informing myself on the game of football as much as I possibly can. But a lot of it's just asking questions, getting information, and asking the right questions. And I think a fair question that you asked. I mean, this goes back really honestly to the mechanics of Carson's throwing. And I think that Doug is sensitive to that question. And Carson certainly is sensitive to that question because it's something that is an issue and has been an issue since he's been a rookie. And it's something he's worked on diligently. I give him a lot of credit. He's always kind of doing stuff to try and improve his mechanics. But when you can't complete a 5-year, pass to Ertz on a flat route and it sails over his head by 5 yards, I mean, that's mostly probably a mechanical issue.
So what is it, and your best guess as to the mechanical issue? Because, there are times when it really works. There's times when, he looks fantastic. The first quarter and a half against Washington, he was accurate, throwing dimes. Even during a couple of the drives, he looked really good on Sunday. What is the comes and goes?
I think for Carson, and I've heard this and talked to a lot of people. I wrote a story about this 2 weeks ago. One of the problems is Carson's, would you say, his best throws are often when he's off balance. When he's out of the pocket, he's moving. And I feel like he relies on that too much from the pocket. So he's not setting his base and throwing from that, repeated motion. I mean, a lot of what quarterbacks do in the NFL is what pitchers do in Major League Baseball. I mean, it's a repetitive motion, and it's getting it right so that each time you do it, it's the same type of throw. Now, look, obviously every throw is going to be different to some degree, but you have to have kind of the same template, the same base when you are throwing from the pocket, and you have to throw from the pocket in the NFL. I mean, that's just a part of playing the game at that level. And I think from what I understand, Carson sometimes doesn't do that even when he'll make the harder throw than he really needs to do. And I think that was kind of evident on the interception, the pass that he threw to JJ in this pass game. If you look at it, he's overstriding. He's trying to put a little extra on the ball. And what happens when your base is, when you're overstriding, mm-hmm. you can't get the necessary torque mm-hmm. for the velocity. And that's why that pass. And now I'm going to ask Carson this question in a little bit. If he had to do it all over again, would he not make that throw, based upon the decision, or would you actually want that throw back?
Right.
And just throw it the right way? Because I feel like if Carson does zip it in there with the right mechanics, he probably completes it.
So,
the decision probably wasn't great, but my point is, there's plenty of times where Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, and you're like, what are they doing? And
right.
they make just an unbelievably great throw. And
go back to the one he makes in the back of the end zone against Washington last year during the 4-game run.
Right, to Miles Sanders. Or just, remember the pass, the Seattle falling, this is 3 years ago, falling to the ground, the pass he threw to Corey Clement against the Redskins when he just threw it almost sideways. It was just right on a line to, on a rope to Corey Clement. And he's made those passes before, and you like that aggression. But you have to know when to pick your spots. But I also wonder, you know, if the aggression is not being supplemented by proper throwing mechanics.
So go back to the relationship between Doug and Carson. You know, there's all kinds of speculation. Which you're close. You've been down there before the pandemic. I mean, you kind of see it. I mean, what are those two, you know, close to being on the same page? Or are they close, period, as you know, worker? I mean, you know, coaching quarterback. I don't know. I mean, what's the you would know better than we would.
Yeah, they get along, from what I understand. I don't think there's any issues. I mean, again, Doug kind of gets along with everybody. You know, Doug certainly has his moments, but I think for the most part, because he is an amiable fella, certainly, you know, withstanding the media at times. But, you know, no, I mean, I think even with Jimmy, he's kind of joking a little bit there. And I think with Carson, I think they do have a good relationship because Doug is easy to get along. But I wonder, because if Doug's so easy to get along with, does he bend too much to Carson's will? And that was certainly the case with Mike Rowe. They butted heads. You know, that was, you know, he had butted heads with Flip and Reich. Now, but that, I mean, that's part of it. You know, that happens all the time. I mean, I almost feel like you need that.
I know he butted heads with those guys, Flip and Frank, but he also respected those guys.
He was younger. He was more the pupil. He was still learning the game. Those guys had a certain gravitas, you know, that maybe Mike Rowe didn't have, because Rowe had never been OC in the NFL. You know, Press is a guy that he kind of grew up with in the NFL. He was just quite a control coach when Carson was drafted and, you know, moved up to quarterback coach and is now pass game coordinator. I do hear that, you know, Press will point out stuff to him. I don't know if it's strenuous, you know, is he really kind of getting his point across in a certain way that maybe sometimes Carson needs to hear it. But, you know, Carson is strong headed. He knows this, a type A guy. I've written about this plenty of times. You know, I don't think it's as bad as maybe the rumor mill is making it seem, but it's something certainly that has to be taken into account when you assess Carson Wentz's current play.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, so it is the whole thing on Wentz?
No. I mean, you know, Sean McVay did a pretty good job of scripting a game plan to get what I think is a inferior quarterback, at least inferior to Wentz in terms of talent, and made him look like Joe Montana. I mean, so there are things that Doug can do to help Carson out. And, you know, I look at this past Sunday, and again, I don't know, you know, Carson's influence on this or not, but they had 12 personnel, like, was it like 90% of the time?
Yeah.
And this is going to be a problem moving forward for them, because the off season was spent adding speed, and, you know, add speed certainly at the wide receiver spot. And if you go on 12 personnel 90% of the time, you're not getting that speed out there as much as you want to. And, you know, I can understand where they're coming from. Two of their best offensive skill guys are their tight ends, Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. But, and certainly you get a matchup, favorable matchups here and there. You get, you know, a linebacker on a tight end there often when you have both those guys out there. But we're not talking down the field throws in a lot of cases. And that's what this offense, you know, they came out and did it in week one, hit on some, didn't hit on others, but you didn't see it at all. And I know that the Rams are playing back, but you can complete downfield throws against a cover two. I mean, it's not like it's not.
Deshaun made a living running by a cover two.
Right. So I wonder, it's just, you know, Doug's got a difficult balance to strike here. It was interesting. In the first week, they did have O2 personnel, which on several plays. And I think I wonder if we'll be seeing more of that. Now, that takes Miles Sanders off the field. But, you know, two tight ends and three wide receivers, that's maybe one way to get around it. But you're not going to do that very often.
No.
It's going to be a couple plays every week.
So all right, so is this thing fixable?
Yes.
Are you for as far as being a playoff team?
I was just going through the numbers. So, you know, the one thing they have going for them is there's 7 playoff spots this year. There's an additional one. And the other thing they had going for them is the NFC East is not strong. So since 2008, 117 started 0-2, and only 11% have made the playoffs. Since 1990, only 30 that have started 0-2. But again, that extra playoff spot could help them. Look, I mean, I know playoffs, we shouldn't. Playoffs, you know, Jim right. Moore shouldn't even be talking about playoffs at this point. But, look, this Sunday, to borrow a phrase, is not a layup. But if they win this Sunday, and depending upon how they win, you know, certainly that ends a little bit of, you know, the downside that we've seen, obviously, at the beginning of the season. But, you know, you look at the next three games, San Francisco, which is they're really beat
up. Banged up, yeah.
Really banged up. And then you get the Ravens. And the Steelers, Steelers first, and then Ravens. I mean, realistically, 2-4 at best, maybe.
Yeah,
I think 3-3 is unlikely. 2-4, you still got hope because you get the Giants the following week, and then you have a bye. The Cowboys. You have Giants and Cowboys. 2 games you can win. You got to win those 2 games, and if you get the 4-4 at the bye, certainly you have a chance. But you know they gotta. They obviously got fundamental problems. They got to figure a bunch of stuff out. But, you know, they have been able to move the ball on offense. Defensively, I felt like this past Sunday is an anomaly a little bit in terms of Jim. I mean, he took it on the chin yesterday, and rightfully so. But it's not all him. There are personnel issues that just aren't going away.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I appreciated Schwartz yesterday. I thought he was really good in front of you guys. What? You know, we don't know about this defense. Like, what are they? And the linebacker thing is scary.
Yeah. Look, I understand you pick a position on defense in this scheme that you're going to undervalue, and it should be linebacker. But to this degree is kind of alarming.
Yeah.
Everybody on the squad is on the roster is like on a rookie contract. Or, you know, there's no guaranteed money there. Okay, you could say, oh, these guys are all playing for something, but you need some proven talent there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when Nate Gary's your number one guy, I just don't understand how you can go into the season thinking that he's going to be the guy to kind of hold that position down. So linebacker is certainly an issue. And safety's an issue, too. And I like Rodney. But Roddy's a number two. He's not a number one. And Jalen Mills, to his defense, I mean, he's been tossed into a tough spot. This is a position he's never played before in the NFL. And you know, we wrote about it, and we asked him about it, and we all, you know, total confidence, et cetera. I'll be able to make this move. I played a little bit of it at LSU. I know the defense, et cetera. But, yeah, it's a little different than going out there and playing the game at this level. And it showed up. It showed on Sunday, I thought. So, you know, the middle of the field is a problem, and that's the Rams saw that, and they went after them.
Yeah,
they went attacked. After them. Yeah, because, again, like, Darius Slay is a good cornerback. You know, I think he's come out and played really well these first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You see what he can bring to the
shadow
table.
Corner, yeah.
And you need one of those guys. That's great and all. But I think they focus too much on that and, not, again, not on the other areas. And then in games, you can just say, okay, I just won't throw to that guy. I just won't throw to that one player that can cover him, you know, right?
That's true. Hey, listen, I know you got Carson coming up. So, we appreciate it, brother. They're always interesting. Whatever it is, they're always interesting, you know?
Well, you know, Sunday will be interesting. We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know.
I mean, you know.
I feel the same way. That's not a layup.
No, I mean, you know, when you're 0-2, there are no layups. So, you know, I'm doing a story on like 10 reasons to feel optimistic that Eagles can turn this around. And I feel like there are some.
10?
There are glimmers. I found 10. Wow. I found 10.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
No.
Me, Mr. Positive right here, found 10 reasons why
I like
can
it.
Turn it around.
I like it, brother. I do. I don't know if I believe it, but I like it. Jeff, you're the best, man. We love you, buddy. Thanks a lot, man. Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.